A mortal, born of woman, few of days and full of trouble, comes up like a flower and withers, flees like a shadow, and does not last.
That is sadly true. Life is short in days and long on misery. But why, O Job, do you not continue nevertheless to praise God in all things? You who once said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Acknowledge his wisdom."
Is there wisdom in what is happening to me? Why is there so much suffering in the world?
I beg you to let God be Lord of your life no matter what, and seek his help in every need. You should address God as the prayer of Moses does. It takes note of the same facts that you do, but how differently it speaks to him. Listen, you turn us back to dust and say, "Return, you children of men." You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, and so that we may rejoice and be glad all of our lives. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us.
My complaint against God is that he acts as judge of our short little lives with unrelenting scrutiny. Do you fix your eyes on such a one? Do you bring me into judgment with you? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one can.
But should not God show wrath over sin? The prayer of Moses tells us so. We are consumed by your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set your iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days pass away under your wrath, our years come to an end like a sigh. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you.
But why does he have this concern with the lives of human beings? This world is a vast judgment hall, and we're all on trial. But why must we all go through this terrifying experience continually? I want to say to God, "Go away. Why do you make so much of men? Why take us insignificant worms so seriously? It is unreasonable to be so demanding, for no one can rise above his tendency to sin, any more than one can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing. Oh, leave us alone and let us humans at least enjoy a little piece of life that you allot us. Since their days are determined and the number of their months are known to you, and you have appointed the bounds that they cannot pass, look away from them and desist, that they may enjoy like laborers their days."
Job, you know better. You have said, and I have heard you, that God has the right to be the judge of the world, and you have encouraged others to fear God. The fact is, we should be glad that God makes so much of men and pays so much attention to human beings. He does judge and also saves and glorifies men and wants them to live with him forever. He can bring something clean out of something unclean by regenerating and renewing people. Listen to the prayer of Moses, which also sees that God numbers our days and then prays, "So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us."
But what if the judgment process is perverted and the judge is unjust, which has happened to me? Then the judgment hall of the world becomes a torture chamber for the innocent as well as the guilty.
How can you say that God is unjust?
He has wronged me, for I have known all my life that God is gracious to sinners, and I want to live in the fear of the Lord. I do not want to be like the godless and the unfaithful, yet my afflictions are God's terrible judgment that I am an insincere hypocrite who hides sins in unbelief and curses God. But this charge is untrue. I have never cursed him, as my foolish wife wants me to do. He knows this and yet falsely accuses me.
He loves you, Job. His afflictions of you are not a judgment of wrath for past misdeeds.
He loved me at one time, and I received good from his hands. But now he is my enemy, and he counts me as his enemy.
No, he is your closest friend who delights in your perseverance even in the most severe adversity. And though you have many doubts and unworthy thoughts about him, all to be repented of, he still knows that you have not cursed and abandoned him, but have continued to seek to have his presence and to hear his word. If you could see the world as the Almighty sees it, you would see his wisdom everywhere, and you would discover purposes, many purposes that are known only to him, but not to you. And you would discover that your perseverance is very useful to him at this moment and means the world to him. His love for you still burns under all these horrible afflictions.
I know that my Redeemer lives and will redeem me from the false accusations.
Yes, that Redeemer has been promised from the beginning of the world, but remember that he comes above all to redeem from true accusations of sin. For you've already admitted that you and the whole world are unclean and need to be saved from your sins, and he will then also do what you long for, will redeem you from false accusations also, for the world is full of hostility to faith in the gospel and constantly accuses it of being insincere. We know from the Bible that Job came to have a much purified attitude toward God, a perspective that is characteristic of Christian faith, as expressed now in the closing hymn.